今起きていることは恐怖に支配された生命の惨状と言える。こと切れる前はホッとするのかもな。これで自由になったって。
Hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of Nerd Soup. I am Bo Oliver, joined here today with Aaron, the Nerd Soup Monkey, and we are back to finally talk about Attack on Titan, the series finale. I'm not even sure what it's called at this point. But before we get into that, I haven't been plugging the socials lately, but you can follow us on social medias at NerdSoup, at BoSoup, at NerdSoupMonkey, on pretty much every social media platform. I don't know how long X is going to be standing, because that motherfucker just knows how to get in his own way, but I guess we're still there. Formerly known as Twitter. What else? Do we have anything else to plug? Oh, Patreon. You know, check out the Patreon podcast. We're going to be releasing a corresponding podcast where we answer some of the fan questions that you guys sent in about the Attack on Titan series finale. And yeah, I guess we can just get right into it. Aaron, how are you doing? How are you feeling about this finale?
Well, it's been a long time coming.
It's Sam Cooke over here.
And thank God for my short-term memory problems, even though I read the manga. I kind of already forgot it by the time this came out, so it's like getting to experience it all over again. Because there were a couple things. I'm like, wait, that I'm pretty sure I remember this happening, but it was kind of like pretty spot on in most regards, right? Big picture wise, some little added things, but
yeah, I think big picture wise, there were some when the manga first came out, people were wondering if there would be major changes.
Yeah. So that's what I was kind of looking forward to in the sense of like I wanted them to change, but just seeing if they made any changes at all. And I remember finishing the manga and being like, okay, I had a little bit of mixed feelings on it. And I know some people just straight up didn't like it at all, but even though big picture wise, it kind of hit all the same beats, I think I just enjoyed this a lot more. And I don't know if that's just seeing it in action, if it's just my inability to read, and comprehension. But I actually really like this finale. I remember finishing it. I felt more positively on it than I remember feeling back when I finished reading.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm the same way. I do feel similarly to how I reacted to the manga. And I remember when that came out, we were all reading it like pirates. Arr. So the translations weren't exact. Obviously, I haven't purchased the manga physically or read it anywhere, you know, that didn't involve me going full Jack Sparrow. But I feel similarly in that it feels a bit uneven, to go back to an expression I've been using a lot lately, the having your cake and eating it too. It's like he was trying to hammer home one message the entire series. Obviously, there were multiple messages and themes that they were tackling, but the big one, the anti-war one. And then it kind of became, well, I guess we're getting into spoilers. Aaron's just a kid. He's just a baby. He loves Mikasa, and he had no choice but to do this horrible thing. It kind of felt like they went all in with it, with 80% of the world has been killed, but he had no choice. And he also cries because he thinks Mikasa's going to fall in love with somebody else. It feels like a redemption without redeeming him. It almost feels a bit immature.
Yeah.
And the writing has always been so strong, and it's just, I don't know. It's like he's thinking about how his fans are going to react. And it's like, yo, people really don't like Aaron anyway.
I haven't.
Yeah. People started liking him when you made him bad.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, once he started like doing all the like.
Because good villain.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Tragic to see somebody, you know, he has this goal in mind and then it turns into something so destructive and tragic.
Right. And
Everybody's getting into the theories of, you know, did he Doctor Strange it? Like he saw all these different outcomes? Because that's what he kind of hints at when he's talking to Armin, right?
I think he's just a stupid kid that was living all these different things simultaneously, new past, in the present and future all at once. And it's like, this is what I have to do. And just, that's the only, just because it was shown, that's how it's going to happen. That's what I have to do at this point. And never really try to think about it any differently. Because like you said, he is kind of an immature kid when it comes down to it. And he kind of reverts back into those later scenes after the dust kind of settles to that character in the beginning, which I guess I didn't hate him, but it wasn't my favorite. And then, like you said, when he had kind of that change, that's when he became more of an interesting character. But seeing it all play out from, like, I always make this point when I do read manga or comics, like, when there's action sequences, I kind of just skip over it so fast. So there's no really time to let it sit and resonate. But watching this all unfold, on screen. Like, some of those moments are absolutely breathtaking. And that's like the, as much as we complained and made fun of the gaps and the long time periods in between, if you're going to give me that, an hour and a half movie with that quality, like, it's kind of worth it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way. It's painful when you have to wait, but once it's here, it's like there was no wait. So it seems like most people are satisfied with it. And I think it was similar with the manga. Obviously, the dissenting voices are always going to be louder because your expectations weren't met for whatever reason it is. And as I said, I do feel similarly to how I felt reading the manga. I feel like the action leading up to Mikasa decapitating Eren, it's great. You're watching all the different characters form their Titan Avengers, and Reiner's doing his thing, and Peek's got that great moment where she's talking about the stamina and all the different plans and the conversation between Armin and Zeke. A little weird, but I do appreciate just how pessimistic Zeke is. He makes me laugh. That guy is totally miserable. And Armin's like, but what about playing catch? Zeke's like, God damn it, Armin. Come over here. And then when the
a lot of the problems in society would be fixed if you just threw the ball around.
I think so, yeah. If you just had a buddy to play catch with.
Yeah.
We need to publish this to the world. People need to know about this. But once Eren is decapitated, it feels like the momentum stops entirely to give us an explanation as to what happened.
Right.
Which I don't like. And it's tough when you're weaving so many different cool things, like introducing the time travel and the powers that Eren has with the Attack Titan, seeing through the memories and all this great stuff that's interesting when you're watching it happen. But you're wondering, how is he going to tie this together in a way that's smart, creative, clever, and also satisfying? It's tough. And I think a lot of epic fantasies run into this problem. So it felt like, yeah, we need to halt the momentum, make sure everybody's caught up on everything that just happened. Like, oh, Armin and Mikasa and all the scouts, they spoke to Eren in this purgatory world that exists outside of the timeline. Or it's always all existing. It's coexisting at the same time. So that felt like I said, just a weird explanation of things rather than it playing out more naturally through the narrative. You can have moments with exposition, but it's a lot. It's still confusing.
Yeah. Well, I liked like the first ending, really, when they do defeat Eren and you kind of they have this moment of reflection and you see all the ghosts of all the past characters, the Hanjis, Erwins, and Sasha, and you're like, this is nice. It's a nice little wrap up. And then it kind of ran into a problem many people have with Return of the King, where it just felt like there was five endings and it just lasted forever after that moment. But
right.
I think
like it was cool seeing him and Armin as kids.
Yeah.
Because that's how the journey started. And also, Eren and Mikasa, I've always felt weird about their relationship being romantic because it's always felt like a sibling relationship.
Yeah.
And that's another thing where it's like the audience maybe wanted to see Eren and Mikasa together, so that's the way he wrote it. It never gets to a point where, I mean, I hope that they both got laid, right?
Who?
Eren and Mikasa.
No, Eren's canonically a virgin.
That sucks.
He's like Batman.
Well, Batman, I don't know about Batman. He seems to be piping everybody.
No, Batman. That
like seems
sucks.
To be something people want for Batman.
My Batman doesn't have sex. He's too busy fighting crime.
Yeah.
No, who is everyone?
Vicky Vale or Selena Kyle?
Who's the character everyone says is a virgin? Not Batman.
Batman.
I feel like the
Jaegerists
were doing. They were definitely banging.
Yeah, I don't think they're all. They're all abstinent too. That's miserable. Yeah, that's why Flock is such a prick.
No, I think Flock and Eren are probably banging.
Okay. Well, hopefully, I mean, Flock's not a good guy. I mean, Eren's really not a good guy either. But yeah, I like seeing Mikasa and Eren in their cabin and, you know, embracing each other, those warm moments. And like I said, with Eren and Armin too. And once again, it feels like, oh, we need to show them on better terms because the last time these characters saw each other with all their mental faculties there, you know, when Eren wasn't this giant whatever monster thing, he was a dick. He's really mean, especially to Mikasa.
Yeah.
He's basically like, you know, stop following me around, you little lost puppy. And then it becomes, you know, I had to say that. I had to keep you off my trail.
And also with like the whole thing with Armin, like basically I'll see you in hell one day. It's like him sharing the blame with Eren and also them trying to kind of justify some of his actions when he's, I think, completely 100% in the wrong. That didn't really go over too well with me.
Yeah, that's a problem people have when they read it. This idea of making Paradise Island, you know, the saviors of the world and making them...
Which doesn't work, by the way.
No, no. And then they're like, well, this conflict does continue. It's, you know, the cycle of violence is going to continue. I mean, it's like I said, it's
that's
hard
the lesson
to
there, but still like...
Right, right. And I think it almost somebody can read it as, oh, they won. Like Aaron stopped, like they're going to be worshipped as heroes, as the saviors of the world. And now all war between Paradise and their enemies is going to stop. But then we see that, you know, the Jaegerists kind of made it a militant society.
Well, it speaks to his immaturity and lack of foresight when him thinking, yeah, I mean, I'll just make them the heroes and everyone will be fine about it. But I killed 80% of the world's population.
Right. No, and I think that it also relates to, you know, animes do this a lot where they have children having to make these decisions that are usually made by adults. And most of the time, it seems like children are able to better understand complicated situations and make it less complicated for everybody else. But I think what we see with Aaron, and that reflects into the real world, is adults have this idea of, oh, just like kill. That's going to solve all your problems. It's just destruction. And we see how flawed that mindset is, where, yeah, maybe Paradise Island is free for now, but it goes back to that whole, you know, Aaron being a slave to freedom. Now that entire society is slaves to militarism because they believe that's how they're going to survive. Yeah, those aspects of it I don't mind so much, but also if we got to that ending where it wasn't this weird attempt to sort of redeem Aaron or put the blame on Armin as well, it just felt like too many cooks in the kitchen. Like he was just trying too many different recipes and too many spices. You know, I like a little seasoning, but you don't want to dump all the salt. Too much salt is disgusting.
Spicy. Yeah, no, disgusting.
Yeah, salty, yeah. Probably. But leading up to it, like I said, the action, incredible. You know, seeing all the fake titans that Zeke was controlling I honestly don't know how that was working, but it was cool. They were dangerous. And I love Gabby's like, oh, I'll shoot them with my rifle. And Levi's like, kid, that's not going to work. But seeing Reiner have to struggle with them. And like I said, peak, been waiting for that moment when she just says, I can keep transforming. I can do this all day type of thing. So all that was great. And them strategizing, them coming together. Terrific.
Yeah, I think everyone really had their moment to shine, and it was a nice farewell for these characters, even though, you know, they, a lot of them do survive, but like just a farewell, their last moment within this show. I think seeing them come together as a team to finally take down Eren, and also just, I like those moments within that kind of purgatory world. What is it called again?
The Red Room.
but seeing like...
The Path.
Yeah. Like seeing them in the Path and the Titans of old, you know, kind of help them at the end too. It was a nice little bow, I think, on everything. Kind of everyone just coming together to take down this force. I was trying to like put in my head, like, you know, those little scales where it's like, here's you, here's the Earth. And then it goes to the point where like, you don't even know, you can't even see the Earth on the scale anymore. Right. Just how big Eren's back was. Because compared to like the other fucking, the Titans and the rumbling, like that thing was massive.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he was absolutely towering over all of them. And that design continues to be just so terrifying. When, you know, you see the people watching the rumbling heading straight towards him and then it stops. The one guy is holding up his baby like he was almost sacrificing it to Aaron. Will you spare me if I give you my child? The rumbling spares nobody. But yeah, even, you know, in the prior episodes, just watching all that play out, the destruction, the absolute hell on Earth, it was mortifying and animated in such a beautiful way. And the whole series, really, I mean, I know the style has changed throughout the series, but you said it was a movie production from start to finish with this final chapter. And I'm trying to think of other moments that really stuck out to me. I mean, like I said, the conversation between Armin and Zeke, I get such a kick out of Zeke's character, of how depressed he was, but the perfect guy to pull him out of that because Armin is the ultimate optimist. I still think Zeke's initial plan was the way to go. The euthanasia.
That's tough because you're like, what would have worked, what wouldn't have?
Well, we can debate the ethics and the morality of it, but I think that, I guess they kind of sort of did that by removing the Titan powers from the world.
Yeah. That was wild too, when they all change at the end and you're like, oh, I guess this is it. But then obviously they go back. But I kind of forgot that moment when I was watching it, like when you see all the Eldians turn into the Titans.
Oh, like, oh yeah, fuck, right.
I guess they're cooked.
Right, right.
It's funny seeing like the Titan versions of those characters of like Titan Connie. And it's great too. Levi could be last breath on death's doorstep. He sees that fucking monkey. He's going after that fucking monkey.
Oh yeah, that was great too. Because it's like in those moments, Levi realizes what maybe Zeke was doing. Mm-hmm. That he turned over to their side. But he can't, you know, forget about all the destruction that Zeke has caused. The guy destroyed the fucking, the scouts. That, what an arc, though. I think out of all the characters, Hanji was always my favorite, but Zeke's right up there for me, because when you're introduced to him, he comes off, and the arrogance never went away, but you hate him because of how powerful and arrogant he is, that he's got this total disregard for life, and he's viewing this really as a job. But then when you learn more about that character, you realize, oh, this guy is just totally miserable. Like, yeah. Not only does he hate everybody else, he hates himself the most, and he's just hopeless. His whole plan, like we said, is just to kill off all the Eldians in a peaceful way. So he starts off as this guy that you absolutely despise, especially because of what he did to the scouts. And he seems like just overwhelming power. You know, we had seen the Eren, Reiner, and Bertholdt's titans. The Beast Titan looked just so weird. Like, why is he a giant monkey? And like I said, you learn more about him, you realize the, you know...
Why is he throwing 102 on the mound?
102? Come on, dude. That guy was clocking like 150. Prime Bernie Williams has taken him yard. But you learn more about him and you realize how complicated his life has been, and all of the Marleyans who have to fight as warrior titans. So yeah, I think not the transformation, but the revelation of the information with Zeke's character, just learning more about his plans and his backstory and his background. For me, he's one of the best characters in the show, and it's an ending that makes you feel really sad. You know, for the longest time I thought it's gonna be great when Levi finally gets this motherfucker. And then it's a bittersweet moment.
Yeah. There's a lot of characters like that aren't part of like the main big three when you look at where you started with this show. Reiner, one of my favorite characters as well.
So happy for him at the end. Even though he's a horny bastard sniffing Historia's hand, right? That's crazy.
That's next level.
Bro was getting off from calligraphy.
Hooked on phonics, my man. I feel like he should, like, his best ending would have been just to die, because he's been wanting to die since for years at this point. But it was nice to see him have that moment of his heroic moment where he doesn't end up sacrificing himself. But that's kind of what it felt like, right? When he did drop down to get the bomb off, like where he made that sacrifice. And
yeah,
I thought that was probably going to be a wrap for him, but. I think that would have been a good way for that character to go out, like making up for all of his past sins by at least being able to do this and help everyone move forward. But he ends up surviving. And I think a character like Gabby came in relatively late to the game. But, you know, in the beginning, she's a character who I hated because she reminded me of young Eren. But she's kind of like that perspective. And I think I said this the last time we talked about the show, of like kind of what Eren should have been, or kind of the route he should have went down. Very similar characters, but she's able to realize why the flaws in her way and change and become a better person because of it.
Yeah, the addition of that character and all the new characters that we met when the perspective flips to the Marleyan were great. And like you said, she's a mirror to Eren, showing us a different path that somebody can go on when hatred and misery is so entrenched in your being. You know, when you're raised your entire life to think, if I kill that person over there, I can be free. It's the same exact thing. And she obviously gets an early taste of how hypocritical and how wrongheaded that outlook could be earlier in her life. I thought Falco showing up as the big bird Falco Titan.
Not big bird, yeah.
That was a great, great shot, dude, when it looks like the scouts are about to be wiped out and the wings appear behind Mikasa. I was like, damn, they stole that from Game of Thrones. They're going to be teaching that in film study classes for the next several centuries. That was great.
Dude, yeah, it looked so good.
Everyone's like, why the fuck is Falco so big and a giant beast? But another great moment for him. You know, he's always been the one, similar to Armin, trying to temper Gabby. You know, he obviously has loved her for a long, long time. You could call it a crush or call it love, whatever it is, friendship. But then it's his time to become the monster that Gabby was always training to be, and he saves the day. Azuma Bito clan just risking their ship. That woman is just such a G. She's like, I don't give a fuck. We'll just take me on the rowboat. Get the job done. Yeah, and Peak had a couple of moments. She's got the one moment where she goes for the kill. Mikasa's still holding out on killing Eren. It's like, yo, they all had to scream at her. Like, we don't want to kill Eren either, dude, but have you seen him?
Oh,
hands are tied here.
she probably bought into the, yeah, Eren, he had to do what he had to do.
So what did you think about the, just skipping to the very end, the post-credit scene? Is that saying that the Titan power
that was wild.
Is like, coming back?
For me, it's like, yeah, they're probably going to spin it off. Also, dude, it's weird, like, they went, like, far into the future. Like, they were showing, it looked like the society where it left that in that last bit is, like, a post, like, a Blade Runner type, environment.
Right, right.
Where, like, they were, I guess, once, you know, they'd be kind of settled everything and they weren't blocked off from the rest of the world. They kind of had that influx of technological advancement, but I mean, that had to be hundreds of years, no?
Well, it looks like just based on where they
are. A cyberpunk fucking attack on Titan would be fucking pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be just leading up to that. Because now it's been.
Just aesthetics that alone would just be enough.
Because it kind of feels like early 20th century. Technologically, the rest of the world with the, you know, the flying boats. So you think in like 1900s, early 1900s, and then you skip ahead to
2100.
Yeah, yeah, 2122. Based on our trajectory, I don't think we're going to be where
but
where
it was a clear, and it was a clear like, oh, this is whoever this character is. It's like, you know, resembles Ymir going into the fucking tree. So, I mean, maybe it's just a cool little open-ended ending, but I don't know why you add that in without at least entertaining the idea of revisiting this world at some point.
I think I would I be down with that? I don't know. Because as, like I said, I think the ending is good. But with a lot of these big, sprawling epic fantasies, it does become more about the journey. And this is a show that I would tap in tomorrow or right after we're done recording episode one, because there's just so many cool things that you can keep an eye out. You know, there's so many great characters and character arcs. So even if the ending isn't as satisfying as some people would want it to be, there's just so much good still there. And even for the overwhelming majority of these last few weird chapter things that they've been doing, for the most part, they've been excellent. Like, I remember watching the last one that we reviewed that was about 60 minutes. This is great.
Yeah.
I'm so ready to tap in when the, you know, when the battle gets going. So the idea of a spinoff, I don't know. I think they're releasing more chapters. I think the creator, Isayama, said that he was coming out with additional chapters. So it's not the first time he's done this. So he's just adding on to the epilogue. Maybe. It's definitely up in the air. I mean, it's definitely something that they're talking about, because this series is, you know, it's become one of the most popular shows really just in the world. So there's money to be made.
Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't hate it. It just depends on what the story and what they're going to focus on.
What did you think about Eren admitting that he killed his own mom? Or Ymir being in love with King Fritz?
Yeah.
Dude, that was crazy. It was like, yo, Eren's doing this, but Ymir's kind of doing it too. She likes this.
Well, Fritz was just like, he was just not like, why? That's like Stockholm syndrome?
Yeah.
He was just an asshole.
No, he was.
He wasn't like an Eren person. Where you're like, oh, like, we're nice, like a decent enough person at one point, but then just changed and got corrupted.
You think maybe we're being fed propaganda about the king?
You think he was a good guy?
Maybe.
Who knows? Maybe that's in additional chapters. But with Eren, like,
I'm just putting it out there.
I think he's just someone who is, like, we've seen throughout, like, just so invested in his path that he thinks is the only way to do things. Like, he probably, like, killing his, like the whole situation with his mom, like, he probably's like, yeah, it sucks, but like, this is just what it is and what has to be and what's going to happen, because this, everything's already laid out. It's kind of like this, he really bought into just his view of, I guess, this deterministic outcome where, like, there's no way to change it and this is what has to happen, and kind of just never really tried to challenge that whatsoever.
Right, yeah, and I think that's a moment where if you're trying to garner sympathy for the character and he admits to something like that, you go, oh, man, I still don't agree with what he did and the path he went down. But, dude, you were so lost that you had to make a decision like that, where you're like, this is how it has to go. This character needs to survive, so I have to kill my own mother. So that wasn't a wake-up call for you. It's a wake-up call in hindsight, because, you know, you've already put this into motion. So I think some of the regret and some of the realization from that character really works. But it's sort of the rationales that he and Eren, that he and Armin or giving each other. And once again, going back to the idea of making the scouts heroes of the world, ambassadors of peace, and they all kind of realize that this is bullshit, that this is not something that's going to last. And then with the post credits, we see that it doesn't. So I think just focusing more on that, of just peeling back how really how fucked up Aaron's arc was and how many terrible things he was doing on top of the things that we already know. That's fine. I don't mind that whatsoever. And yeah, it just adds a new wrinkle. Once again, like I said, you go back and watch those first that first episode when Aaron's mom dies and you have this information. It's like, fuck. And you know, you're almost looking for Aaron in all these scenes, like just in the shadows, manipulating, whispering in ears, stuff like that. Telling the Knicks to draft Obi instead of Halliburton. He's been in the Knicks' ear for all the wrong. What is he cooking? What are we getting? So much pain and destruction. When does it stop? When do we get the first pick? Holy shit. But yeah, and also the information, you know, with Ymir, that adds a new element to it. But it also feels like, once again, you know, Aaron's doing this, but Ymir's kind of making him do it. She wants to do it too. It's taking away some of his agency, but it's also not. That's what I said, that having your cake and eating it too, that's why it comes off as uneven. It's like you're trying to make one point while also making another that butt heads.
Yeah, it's like he's supposed to have obtained the ultimate freedom, but he's still a slave to his own pre-written storyline. All these events are already going to happen. So I guess it kind of dives into that a little bit. And that's fun to kind of think about and that contrast and all. But it's almost...
You know what I can't stand?
He contradicts himself the more he speaks. And I think that's kind of what frustrates some people about Aaron.
Yeah, and it's also nobody's really doing a good enough job calling him out on it. It's almost like the audience is picking up on the contradictions.
Just lets him off the hook right away. It's like, no, my fault too.
Yeah, right, right.
You're probably the least person to blame here.
Yeah, Armin, come on, buddy. I know that you've got a lot of blood on your hands, but you literally can make those rationales for yourself.
Well, because he doesn't accept, unlike Eren, this is the only outcome. He tries to outline every possible rational decision for the best outcome. And sometimes that can get you in trouble, but other times, you know, when you dot all your I's, cross all your T's, at least you know why you're doing what you're doing and you've thought about it.
Yeah, in Armin's mind, he's got so many dark thoughts that he can't escape. But I think in his heart, that's never wavered. He's always believed that things could be better, that there can be a better approach, that there can be some sort of improvement, that we just don't have to go down this path of never-ending violence. And I think both characters are proven right and proven wrong at the same time.
Yeah, I think there's an argument to be made that hesitancy by Armin, like to try to find the perfect outcome, still hanging on to the Eren he knew. The same thing with Mikasa. Like, if you get rid of that a little earlier and kind of not try to make it where everyone can and get out of this okay, probably could have saved more lives, or you probably could have ended this a little sooner. So I think there's obviously flaws with any direction you really go, but I think at least the attempt to try to figure out the best outcome is what separates the two characters. How far is that walk back from where the battle ended to that tree on the hill? Because, you know, Eren was decomposing something crazy on that journey, and Mikasa's just holding that head.
Damn, they really didn't account for that, huh? No, she got a ride in Littlefinger's helicopter. They're using Game of Thrones Season 7 fast travel. So that's all fine. Yeah, no, by the time she gets there, it's just a skull. She's like, oh, cool, a skull.
Bringing your... people have been speculating if she's with Jean or if she's with just some random guy.
God, I hope she's not with
Connie.
John,
yeah. Well, he was taller.
Better not Connie.
So it wasn't Connie or Armin.
Oh, right.
I feel like if it was him, then I guess that makes sense. But if it's just some random guy, it's like, hey, you want to go see my dead lover who killed my dead, who I wanted to be my lover, but ended up killing 80% of the population and died. So now I'm stuck with you.
Things went sideways, you know, didn't work out between us. But at least I like to go visit his head every now and then.
At least if it was someone who knew the situation and was part of the crew, I think that goes by easier, because he probably wanted to see Eren too.
Yeah, but even
if it was
then,
just Dan from down the block, that's fucked up.
Craig,
leave Dan. Craig's cool.
Craig gets it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Craig is the guy
Craig had a past also.
Yeah. No, he's like, I've done some things. I've seen some things. He's a big conspiracy guy, too, so he doesn't blame Aaron. It's a false flag. All right, guys, before we get to the second half of this review, we're going to take a quick break and shout out our sponsor for today's episode, and that would be Uncommon Goods. If you're tired of disappointing your friends and family with terrible gifts during holiday season, I'm not speaking from personal experience. Well, I kind of am. Uncommon Goods is your secret weapon. Uncommon Goods is here to make your holiday shopping stress-free by scouring the globe for the most remarkable and truly unique gifts for everyone on your list. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. These fine products are often made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And I was pleasantly surprised to see how wide-ranging their selection actually is. There's a lot of unique products on Uncommon Goods, and one product in particular that caught my eye was a portable campfire, which is something I'm probably going to gift myself because I'm too old to be receiving gifts. I'm just a gift giver at this point in my life. So I think I'm going to get myself a nice little portable campfire that lasts for 3 to 5 hours. And in order to put it out, you simply just put on the lid. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They are the most meaningful, out of the ordinary gifts anywhere. From art and jewelry to kitchen, home, and bar, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. Not the same lackluster gifts you could just find anywhere. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They have donated more than $2.5 million to date. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/nerdsoup. That's uncommongoods.com/nerdsoup for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're out of the ordinary. We'll take some questions like we teased in the beginning, because we've got some good ones. This first one here from David. Teddy. It's a question for Teddy. Anime ending or manga ending? David, I just really love that you think Teddy has read the manga as well as watched it. He hasn't done either.
Has he watched it?
No, he has not.
I've been trying to get him to watch it for years, man.
Ted, he struggles with anime, man, unless it's Indigo League.
Yeah.
He's not watching it.
Well, it took you a while to start watching it, too. I was pestering you for months. I finally got you to turn it on.
That's fucked up, man. You think because you've seen One Piece that you can start doing this now? Because you've seen the crown jewel of anime?
Yeah. I mean, it's good, but, like, boy, is it long. I'm, like, almost 200 in now, and I'm like, I still have a shit ton to go.
I'm not even joking to say this would be funny, but I hear like once you hit the 700s, it gets crazy. The whole story gets like flipped on its head.
Like, I'm on the Reddits. I gotta be careful because obviously there's so much I haven't seen and don't want to get spoiled. Reddit, by the way, will just send you a notification for something about, and I got spoiled that way about, yeah, it, like, oh yeah, this One like, Piece, oh, thread.
What do you think about this character's death? Did, yeah, you like it?
It's exactly what happened, and I'm, yeah, like, fucking sucks. I go to spoiler free Reddit for a reason. There are times where it feels long, and some arcs are just like, all right, can we finish it? And it has very, you know, the old joke about Dragon Ball Z, like a fight will last for 5 episodes.
Yeah.
Well, there's like, it's happened multiple times so far where it's like 30 seconds or a minute. Like, they're like, oh, we have a minute till this bomb goes off, and it'll last for like 2 episodes.
I do love that. I also love the opposite. Like Nolan, whenever he does a countdown, you can check your watch and it's always dead accurate.
Not this.
Yeah. Like when Batman kidnaps the Chinese billionaire in Dark Knight and he puts the timer, it's exactly like 2 minutes and 30 seconds. There's no time in anime. This question here from Youngest Me.
I'm glad you finally took my advice and watched Attack on Titan.
Yeah, no, dude, you have great recs. Yeah. Any other things you want to recommend I watch? Better Call Saul. I hear that's good. Yeah, yeah. I've heard good things about that. Good spinoff. This question here, Youngest Meme. What are your guys' favorite moments throughout the entire show? It's easy. It's a moment that everybody thinks is their favorite moment, but it just is, dude. When Levi gets the Beast Titan during that first, during that battle, I don't think there's never been anything more satisfying in epic fantasy than that. Because watching him carve up the beast, like I said, so arrogant, such a prick, and so evil. Up until that point, you're like, yo, this guy doesn't care about any innocent life at all. He's a sick fuck. So to see Levi humble him, just so satisfying. It's like, you laughing now? Just chopping him up. Well, and then, before getting Erwin's speech, you know?
Yeah, no, like that whole, like...
That whole three-episode run yeah. is just absurd. So good.
I like the first time I really like was like, I gotta keep watching this. Like, I was like, that's all I would think about, like, was like, I want to go home so I can keep watching it, was when they're chasing Annie through the...
Yeah.
Through the forest.
Incredible.
Because then I'm just like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, what's happening? Like, I need to figure this out. What's going on? What's the deal?
Yeah, you were so in the dark up until that point. There was so much it was like this uphill battle, and the hill just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah, that was, and the formations, you know, the way that they strategize that, and that's Levi's coming out party.
That's the first time
all the elite scouts got massacred.
That's the first time I'm like, oh, this show is really good. Because I obviously liked it, or I wouldn't have kept going with it. But like up until the point, I'm like, oh, it's good. And then I think even some of the earlier moments were definitely, there were some cool moments. But like, I think that was like what kind of transcended. It's like, oh, this is, I know why I told you to watch it.
Yeah, I remember you saying, dude, there's this scene with this girl who's eating a potato and she gets in trouble and it's so funny. And I'm like, potato? Girl? Funny? What's that? No, one moment from the first season that always stuck with me is when Aaron balances on the ODM gear and then it's revealed that the ODM gear was broken. That always stuck with me.
Because
I'm like, he did it. And they're like, also, there was a little malfunction there. I was like, oh my God, he's fucking nice. And Aaron's first, there's a lot of Aaron moments that I love.
I was so happy when
he gets
he died.
His first kill.
in that first season, I'm like, oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, right.
He's gone.
Another great moment when he gets his first kill as a human. That was great as well because it was just so satisfying for him because he's just wanted to do that his entire young life since his mom died. And then, you know, he killed his mom. That's a great moment. I love Levi kicking the shit out of Aaron to prove to the rest of the army that, yeah, we're gonna keep this guy in line. Levi, just so many great Levi moments. Him dressed up like a house cleaner because he wants everything to be sanitized. And Sasha, you know, Sasha just throughout the show was funny. That potato scene is genuinely hilarious. Why was she eating a fucking whole ass potato in the middle of basic training? She's just stuffing her face with a potato. And then she offered him a piece. Oh, that's good stuff. This question here from Mount Nick.
And I think the reveal of Reiner and Berthold being Colossal and Armored Titan.
Yeah, the betrayal.
That was such a shot and stab in the back.
It really was,
I felt
dude.
Betrayed.
Yeah, Aaron was just like, no, this can't be
fucking possible.
That's
so good. That's why I love Reiner.
Berthold was like, oh, we're doing this?
That's why I love Reiner, because when they flip it back, you're like, fuck, man.
He's a great character. One of the best, without a doubt. This question here from Nick. Falco having wings. Royal blood spinal fluid hack? Or just a case of bad writing? I don't mind it. It looked awesome. I guess they're saying that it makes him a little bit too OP. It's the end of it's the end of the series. They needed somebody to bail him out, the Han Solo maneuver. So I don't mind it. And it just looked awesome.
Yeah.
He's scary. Something about birds. Giant birds. I don't like them.
You would have hated the pterodactyl age.
Yeah, that's the scientific name for it, right? The age when pterodactyls ran the earth. Pterodactyls are vicious. Like in Jurassic World, when that one woman just got bodied.
You're back in the Viking Age. That explains the laser raptors.
That explains the laser pterodactyls. I just hate the way it's spelt.
That's such a great... I gotta watch that again. I actually was looking into it.
Pterodactyl. Kung Fury?
It's supposed to be coming out soon.
Oh, the Fassbender one?
Yeah.
Hopefully it's just playing his character from The Killer, but narrated in Kung Fury's voice.
I love that movie.
This question here from Lone Soldier. What do you think the impact of Attack on Titan is going to be, not only as an anime, but as a show? And the impact that it's had on pop culture in general. Well, I said, like, when we were just talking about it, that it's become one of the most popular shows in the world. And I think it's definitely up there now when you think of what are mainstream animes that are popular, not just in Japan or in the West, but just everywhere. It's like Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, My Hero, and Attack on Titan, I think, is in that sort of class now, Naruto. It's definitely up there with those shows. And its legacy, you know, we'll see. I think in the years ahead, it's going to be very influential on fantasy writers who come up watching it and loving it. Watching the new Ninja Turtles movie, one of the turtles was a big Attack on Titan fan. So it's just funny to see the way things have changed, where the kids coming up today, they, you know, they love all these shows. And
I like kids, that's young kids watch anime. Like, it's insanely popular, more so. And I guess you could say the thing, like, yeah, Pokemon and Dragon Ball Z were so big when we were little. So, like, maybe that's kind of the equivalent, but it feels like it's definitely more prevalent in the younger generation now. And I guess we can really see if they do decide to continue and go on a spinoff, just like the hype going into that and seeing if it's something that lasts. I think when you look at, like you said, like the One Pieces, like the My Hero Academia, even though they're all, I think, within the same, like, it's just a different type of story, different type of presentation. I think when you look at things like maybe like a Vinland Saga, like more mature type animes where it's not, I'm not saying like the other animes have their moments, but, you know, they're not really having fun in the Attack on Titan. It's more of the, like you said, the fantastical elements, the kind of questions, the philosophical questions you ask yourself while watching, or trying to dig deeper to see what is actually at play here, not just sitting on the surface here. I think in that regard, it can be that something like that can be popular, can inspire more projects of that ilk.
Yeah, and I think out of all the shows that we've sort of tried to push on our audience, the Attack on Titan is the one that a lot of people took to, especially people who haven't seen animes. We have a question here from Patriot. Is this a good anime to watch if you normally haven't watched an anime before? It's often considered the best one to have people watch. It's the closest we ever got to having Nash watch an anime.
Yeah, like a guy, like regular guy, doesn't watch anime, he would hate One Piece, but I think he would like Attack on Titan.
Right, yeah. And Vinland Saga is another one like that. You know, if those are two great places to start. But it's also, sometimes I say, like, you might want to start with something that's a bit more traditional, a bit more shonen, because you can have a lot of fun with those too. And you just have to take it for what it is. That's why I get so frustrated with Nash, because he likes all this freaky, it's like he only likes freaky, weird stuff if it comes from the West. But if it comes from somewhere else, he's like, this is weird. Why are they sweating all the time?
Yeah, I feel like he doesn't like when there's like moments, like when the character's face completely changes, like they'll have fangs because they're mad or something like that, or they'll look at the screen and like pause for a second because they're in shock or something.
Right, yeah. Full Metal
Alchemist. Why is this cartoon not portraying realistic humans?
It's funny, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood does that a lot throughout the series, but when it gets to the end and things really get serious, they stop doing it for episodes. And then there's a reunion, and then it happens again for like the last time, and it's really funny because you totally forget that the show used to do that. This question here from B.R. Heim, not an attack question, but similar, it's related. Thoughts on the Avatar The Last Airbender trailer? I'm assuming he means the live action. Did you watch that?
No.
I didn't either.
I don't do trailers anymore.
No, I've stopped doing trailers. I saw the posters, the character posters. Looks fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing that's so bad where I'm like, this is going to be terrible. So the jury is still out. I think that's a show, that's a story that has a lot of potential for live action. And we saw it with One Piece that they did a pretty good job with that first season. Maybe the magic will continue on into Avatar The Last Airbender.
I think that's an easier show to adapt than One Piece too. So
Yeah, it is. And that's a good point. It just is. This question here from Overnight Doorman. Did any moment make you cry? I'm sure a moment throughout the show has made me cry, but nothing in the finale.
I got chills a few times.
You know what almost made me cry? I did cry. When Reiner's mom apologizes to him.
Oh, yeah, that was sad.
That made me tear up. Because all those people that, you know, they all hated Paradise Island for all this time, and then, you know, they get that rude awakening there at the end, like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have hated these people all this time. Maybe when, we've been fed propaganda.
When they come out and, like, the Marleyan soldiers, like, draw their weapons on them, I'm like, just look behind you.
They just can't stop. They can't stop. This question here from Amadi. Not related, but Hunger Game reviews? Question mark?
I actually watched those recently.
I think 2's the best one. And the last 2 I can't stand. Did you watched all the way to the end?
Yeah, no, the last one kind of stinks.
Oh, yeah. And part 1 I hate the most, because just like, we made PETA hate Katniss. That's like the whole movie. PETA hates Katniss now.
I fucking hate PETA. I just don't like how he's like a good baker, and he's like, well, I can make the illest camouflage because I can paint cakes pretty good.
Oh, yeah. That's what he does in the first movie, right?
Yeah. The RIP world is Rue. Very cool, though.
Was it Rue or Ruth?
Rue.
Rue, yeah.
Yeah.
RIP.
The world's very cool. And I hear the new one's actually pretty good, too.
Yeah. You know what? I struggle with these stories like Hunger Games and Harry Potter, where I can watch them and enjoy them. But I've been so turned off by their politics because it's always like, it's so much easier to get into those things when it's made up and make-believe. But whenever you apply the same logic to the real world, somehow it doesn't translate. So I get really frustrated. Like J.K. Rowling, she thinks that, you know, the people are like, those books are anti-fascism. It's like, yeah, it's easy to be against fascism when you're up against Voldemort. You know, everybody's against fascism when it's the Nazis. Like I said, it doesn't always translate to the real world.
Well, I think
there are a lot of fascists out there who don't even know that they're fascists who cheer on these stories as if they're anti-fascist.
We should do the Hunger Games.
That's like the Netflix dumbass Squid Game game show.
Yeah, Mr. Beast.
Yeah, Mr. Beast did it first, and then now Netflix is doing it. Like, yo, you're missing the entire point of the show. It just comes off as... I understand there's an appeal there to branch out and to make it like a franchise sort of thing, but to make it a game show... I can never stand game shows. It's like, oh, we have to all compete for this money that we have. one of you is going to get $1 million. Why can't you just split it three ways?
I think it would be hilarious if Mr. Beast gave someone like generational wealth, like a shit ton of money, which you probably could. And just so people can be like in high society, this person could be like in high society. I'm like, oh, it's like, what do you do? It's like, oh, I'm an oil tycoon, you know, doing this. Like, how'd you make your money? Oh, I ran into Mr. Beast at a Walmart.
Yeah, that would be so funny, dude. You're just rubbing shoulders with all the business elite of the world, like you said, yeah.
This is Jeff Bezos.
I own this airline.
Oh, what would you do?
Well, I graduated high school. And that would be Teddy. Teddy's always, every time Mr. Beast does something, Teddy's always like, he can't just give me 500 grand. He can't just buy me a house.
Yeah, I made my money the old-fashioned way. I delivered a pizza to Mr. Beast.
Oh, this question here from Movies
and
Weed. I'm
in the beast business. Oh, like African safaris, things of that nature? Nah, mister.
Oh, boy. Mr. Beast needs to come and build us a new studio. Shit would be dope. Heated seats? Popcorn machine? You know how Mr. Beast does it. This question here from Movies and Weed.
You know Mr. Beast would put a popcorn machine
you
in this
know
bitch.
He's not coming to this bitch without a popcorn machine. Or maybe a soda machine. Either or. Because at that point, you just buy the other one yourself, you know? Movies and Weed asks, are you happy with the ending?
Is that a Beast exclusive?
Eren should have wiped out 100% of all humans.
That's another fair point.
It would be so... I mean, people are complaining that the ending's already too bleak. That it should have been a bit more sweet. It's too bitter. That would have been just... I don't hate it, but I also think, like, to go through that journey and just to leave it with he kills everyone except his friends, it's horrifying. Maybe fair. Maybe that's the point, you know, that people wanted him to drive home and finish it with.
But also just like maybe just have him fully corrupted, like the only way, like, yeah, that's his plan. He's just gonna fucking wipe out everybody
and they still stop him.
And they still stop him.
Yeah, that could have been a better way to do it too. Yeah, that's something I wanted to bring up when we were talking about it, that maybe just making him evil, you know, he's just lost his way and there's some regret maybe, but not enough to where he's crying over who Mikasa is going to be dating.
That was so bitch made, man.
Yeah, somebody asked, is Eren a soy boy?
It's like...
And people have defended it saying like, yo, he's kind of like still a teenager, I think.
Yeah, but it's not like...
Still, I wasn't crying
like that.
You brought
this all on yourself.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm sacrificing myself, but like this person I've neglected for the past however many years, I don't want her to have no happiness.
Which is fair that he would feel that way, but it just comes out of nowhere. So all those emotions, that sort of reaction, it is a bit weird. And it was weird when people read it. That was one of the big criticisms. People were hoping that the writers of the show would change those lines of dialogue. And people compared it to sort of like Anakin in Attack of the Clones. Like, yo, why are you acting like a whiny little bitch? But with Anakin, I think it's almost more defensible because he was just always like that. I guess Eren was obviously very emotional, but yeah, it's just weird because he went from this, you know, totally emotionless, horrible person, and then he's just crying on Armin's shoulder.
Oh, so, yeah, I wish that moment was more... There's a way where that can come off, I think, much better.
Yeah, if he's just like, not, like, whining, like...
Well, you can, like, cry and whine and be upset, like, but, like...
But be a man because about
of the realization.
It.
Not even be a man. Be a kid in that moment, but right. like,
be a man
because
kid.
Of it's like you know this is what you had to do, but it's fucking killing you inside, and you just wish in an alternate reality I could just be with Mikasa and be with you and have the life that we once had. But that's just not the way things worked out, and you can reflect on that and be sad. Not like yeah, I'm gonna die and this is all gonna happen, but I want her to fucking cry over me for the rest of her life.
Yeah, very selfish. That's one thing I always think about. Like, if I was married and I passed away tragically, I would want my wife to move on. I don't want somebody being depressed and grieving for years and years and years.
I wondered about that. I wouldn't care. I'd be dead. Let's say heaven's a thing. I die. Well, I'm going there. I'm skipping the line.
Okay, well, you're assuming a lot of things.
But now, when my wife dies, it's like, oh, we could be together for eternity. And who's this guy? who gets it?
Like, right.
Do we just share?
No, under that circumstance, you're gonna have to take it up to God, the Supreme Court in heaven. I'm sure they have
just exactly the same.
Yeah, no, it takes years and years and years for this case to finally get to the court. So it's just it's like it doesn't matter. It's eternity, so you might as well just wait around.
Or it's like an Air Bud when they stand on opposite sides, him and the clown, and they both call Air Bud and see who he runs to.
There was a clown involved in the Air Bud movies?
I think so. I could be mashing up a whole bunch of different things, but I feel like that's accurate.
Why are my neighbors throwing a house party?
It is bumping, huh? Let's go over there. Is that a car?
This question here from It's John Fireheart. In my opinion, Attack on Titan belongs in the GOAT conversation among all made-for-TV storytelling, animated, live action. Where does it rank for you guys amongst all-timers like Breaking Bad, Sopranos? There was a point where I was ready to put Attack on Titan in those conversations, and I guess by default it is in those conversations because so many people are now ready to elevate it towards those conversations as I once was. I think for the most part, yeah, it still does belong there. I'm not going to put it above Breaking Bad or Sopranos, but I wouldn't hate anybody who does. And then you get into the territory of they're completely different shows.
Right.
What can you compare it to? You can compare it to Game of Thrones very favorably. You can compare it to even something like The Lord of the Rings. It wasn't a show, but they're long-ass fucking movies. So when it comes to just epic fantasies, it's definitely in the GOAT conversation. And yeah, for just shows in general, sure. Yeah, it belongs there. In terms of like the animes that I would put in those conversations, Neon Genesis Evangelion always comes to mind first, and Cowboy Bebop. I think those shows truly belong. Like it's not even about transcending anime, but it is. They do transcend the animated medium.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, society considers live action to be the pinnacle, and every now and then you get a Spirited Away on the top 100 movies of all time, and Totoro.
Yeah, and I think it's insanely close to reaching that, like, Breaking Bad, where it's just, like, perfect throughout and really sticks it. I don't think it really stuck the landing, but it wasn't as, like, anything. Like, I still liked it, but it wasn't. Like, I feel like Breaking Bad, you can honestly say, like, its ending, it's almost its strongest aspect of the show. And it's the same thing of, like, when you're talking about, like, where Game of Thrones ranks. It's like, yeah, a shitty ending. It sucks, but, like, it doesn't negate everything that's came before it. And with Attack on Titan, I think you can look at, you know, 99% of it just being absolutely incredible. So, yeah, it could definitely, I think it definitely deserves to be up there, or at least in a conversation.
Yeah, no doubt. We've got some good ones here. I'll take a fun question. What would your ideal retirement look like? Location, day to day. Oh, just a Vermont dog breeder. Like, you know in Vice when they say Dick Cheney retires and he just bred golden retrievers for the rest of his life living on that ranch? Heaven.
Yeah.
The land, nice little pond, golden retrievers everywhere.
I think about retirement often.
I fantasize about retirement.
And no, but every time it always is like, this is terrible.
See, no, I'm so ready for it. Like, I see the...
I think I would just be so goddamn bored.
Yeah, right. But I see people in like their...
But I'm already so goddamn bored.
Right. No, yeah, that's the other thing.
I'm already retired, basically. Like, I don't do
mentally,
anything.
Yeah,
I just watch TV.
At this point, your job is just keeping you going.
Yeah. So it's just like...
It's keeping you alive.
When I get home, like, when my day is done, like, I've done everything I need to do, and I'm just sit down... Until I go to bed, I'm just like, this sucks so bad. And I do it every fucking day. I'm just sitting in the same spot, maybe eat dinner, and I'll just watch
TV. But see, wouldn't it be nicer if your scenery was a little different? A bit more relaxing, a bit more open, not as...
No, I feel like I would need chaos around me. Not chaos, but more hustle and bustle.
So why don't you move to the city, become like one of the hustle and bustle guys? Get one of the phones, get a little ear thing.
Yeah,
you're talking, you're walking, you're making deals, you're dealing, you're wheeling.
I thought about that.
Adderall. Shortage.
If I had a job like there, but if I didn't, like, well, I'm just gonna sit in an apartment that I'm gonna overpay for with no friends, and have to go back to Long Island
Do the Leo thing. Get the job.
Making new friends.
Become a broker. Bye.
That's too much hustle and bustle.
You need a nice happy medium.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Or Morocco.
And yeah, too. If when I think about
to retire
like,
in Morocco,
if I won the lottery. I think I would just be super bored.
No, what do you mean? You would fund Alex Garland's next project. Become a movie producer. There you go. There's your hustle and bustle.
That's true.
Scout locations.
I thought about that too, but like how you need a lot of money for that shit.
No, you do it like a
300 mil?
No, not 300 mil. You tell them, listen, we're not working with it's not a fucking Marvel movie. It's a nerd suit movie. You've got 10 mil. You give Christopher Nolan 10 mil, he'll come up with some fire shit. Under budget. He comes in 8.7 mil. Here. Go have fun in Vegas. Don't forget, I got 15 points on the box office, motherfucker. I've really come to love, just side note, Christopher Nolan. Seriously, no, I think because people were talking about, like, over the years, what's going to happen when Spielberg, Scorsese, Coppola, Lucas aren't here to talk about film preservation and how important it is to see films from other places and to keep the tradition of cinema alive. He's the one that they're passing the torch to. Did you see his comments recently about the Blu-ray that he's putting together for Oppenheimer? Where he's talking about how I wanted to, you know, do like a lot of behind the scenes stuff, really make sure that it's formatted for the home viewing experience. Music to my ears, dude.
Yeah. And pre-ordered that Steelbook. Comes out next week, I think.
No, I think guys like him, Tarantino, PTA, everyone's saying like, oh, when Scorsese's gone, we're going to be left with the Russo brothers. Love Infinity War, love Winter Soldier, love the Cat movies. But everything they say about movie making sucks. Those guys are such corporate shills. They will say anything to keep Bob Iger happy. The way they talk about AI, they're just ready to give it all up. They're like, yeah, we can't make anything good that doesn't involve Marvel characters, so we'll just let AI do it. I mean, is that the approach we're going to take? But I'm glad that there are people that are, you know, Nolan, who continues, you know, his voice just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's going to be like, hey, this is how it needs to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we still have voices like that. And even, you know, Villeneuve, like I said, Tarantino, PTA, James Gunn and the Russo brothers are ready to give the game away. James Gunn's having his films axed left and right, and he's not saying anything about it. Superman's going to be written off it's going to be a tax write-off. James Gunn's going to be like, listen, hands were tied. Guess I'm doing Guardians 4. We'll take a few more questions here. Shout out Chris Nolan, getting that best director.
Yeah, I think he is. He's got at this point.
It feels like his year. We were wondering, like, with Dune 2, obviously got pushed back. So Scorsese, it feels weird that he's only got one. People always say that it feels, you know, Spielberg's been hasn't been awarded enough Oscars for all his contributions. He's only got two.
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, we both like Killers of the Flower Moon, but I think, in my opinion,
wasn't good enough to unseat Oppenheimer for me.
No, if anything. They're really fucking bumping over there, huh? If anything, like, it won't happen, but, like, personally, like, my personal rankings, like, Jonathan Glazer, Zone of Interest could be, but I don't think that's...
Yeah, he's definitely not
fucking
winning.
They wouldn't do that in a heart, like...
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I'd be upset, because I think Oppenheimer still might be my number one, but to see, like, everyone who's maybe watching the Oscars who typically don't because they saw Oppenheimer and saw Barbie and, like, oh, these movies are nominated... Let's watch the Oscars this year and just some foreign film that no one's heard of wins. Yeah. It would be absolute chaos, which I kind of root for all the time. I do wonder the Oscar numbers this year. I'm interested with both Barbie and Oppenheimer, movies that people saw.
This question here from Shane. What's the next anime you see going this route with the hour plus specials instead of the typical serial style? Seems Demon Slayer is prime for it. Yeah, I mean, I loved what... Demon Slayer did with Mugen Train, one of my favorite movies of that year. It's so incredible. I need to rewatch that. And I need to catch up on Demon Slayer because I've heard the new season's incredible. But yeah, Demon Slayer, what's going on with Jujutsu Kaisen's crazy. Have you heard about this?
No.
That they think that the season could be delayed because it's just not finished. And they've been putting out episodes because the animators are like, we haven't been able to finish this. They've been crunching throughout the season to get these episodes. They've been like literally working up until deadlines. And they're like, we literally can't do this anymore. They were saying the last episode, it's weird because it's being called one of the best animated episodes of anime ever. But the animators are saying that it's unfinished. So the product that everybody's been watching and praising is, according to the animators, it wasn't even done.
Damn.
I think Jujutsu Kaisen, for that specific reason, could go down that route.
Yeah, I mean, from the three episodes I watched.
This question here from Alyssa, we'll take a few more. Why'd they have to do this to him? It's just a picture of Levi with the fucked up eye looking at a lollipop. That is actually one of my favorite things that they did with the Levi character after he gets exploded. They sidelined him. He had his moment, like we talked about in Midnight Sun. He's OP. And it's similar to All Might when he shows up to fight the, what are the beasts called?
Nomus?
Yeah, the Nomu, when he's not smiling. It's like, oh shit, All Might's not smiling. He never does that. And then they sort of sideline him. And yeah, he does kind of push through his injuries there at the end. And he contributes. He obviously blows Eren's head up so they can see human Eren. But I really enjoyed what they did with Levi's character. Yeah, everybody was in love with him, so they decided to fuck him up a bit, you know, make him a little bit uglier. this question here from Gotham Flip, forgetting about the Netflix live-action adaptation. Cast this as a new live-action HBO series.
Attack on Titan? Damn.
In my head, I've always seen... it was Armie Hammer for a long time as Erwin. I thought he would have been perfect.
Hmm.
So I guess we'll go Goslin.
Yeah, let's go Army, fuck it.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, at that point, it's been enough time, right? Yeah. Let's say this is a 2028. Nobody remembers by 2028. No, and honestly, like, I always thought Chalamet would be a good Levi, because he's got that, you know, he's obviously not as short as Levi is.
Chalamet doesn't give me... Like
the respect, right? He doesn't command that respect.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Steven Yeun, I think, could be an interesting for Levi
you
as
could,
well.
You could do like a whiny Eren, I think.
See, with the kids, I would go all unknowns.
Yeah.
It's more so the adults. Like, Hanji would be fun with, like, Catherine Han. I think she'd be perfect for Hanji. Just weird, eccentric scientist.
Mm.
She's kind of got that energy in a lot of her roles. I'm trying to think of the upper brass. Bryan Cranston as Pixies, General Pixies.
Ooh, who'd be Zeke?
Right, yeah, that's a fun one. Who's got that, like, just the miserable vibe to him? I mean, it doesn't really look like him, but I feel like the essence of the character, Adam Driver, could sort of pull
that off. I was thinking
Adam,
I was just in my head, but I was thinking more Eren's dad if we go on looks.
Yeah, yeah, that could be a good one too. Yeah, and I think it's a series that would warrant, like, you need some stars. Like, I think Levi and Erwin would be the ones where you go for star
Pedro
power.
Pedro Pascal, he's getting everything these days.
You know what? I don't like that for his career.
Pedro Pascal as Eren Yeager.
As Eren Yeager. Because he's going to be stuck in the machine now for like a decade. Nobody goes the Leo route. Leo's giving you free game.
Yeah, before I get that Leo money.
Oh, you saw what he got paid for Killers?
Yeah.
It's absurd.
I
do love me that money. All right, last question here from Wes.
What a fucking weasel character role that was for him.
Yeah, no. Might be his best role after Calvin Candy. Why should I even watch this show? This show being Attack on Titan, not Nerd Soup. Plenty of reasons to get some soup.
It's just a good show. Do you like good shows? If the answer is yes, watch. And if it's no, still watch. One of those little graphs.
Well, like I said, the shows that we've, of all the shows that we've pushed on our audience, people really like this one because it has similarities to Game of Thrones. It's got the conspiracies, a bit more action-oriented, but it's super violent. Any character could die at any time. That's the watching the earlier seasons, I was like, yo, this is too much to handle. Motherfuckers are just getting picked off left and right. This is crazy. It has great character development. It's got humor. The world building is tremendous. It just keeps building and building and growing and growing. And when you think you have the story figured out, it pulls the rug out from under your feet. So it's got a little bit of everything that people love from your epic fantasy shows and movies. So yeah, that's why it's worth the watch. And a lot of people seem to really enjoy it. And the ODM gear is sick.
Remember like early Twitter, they would have like these, the mashups, like celebrity mashup names.
Yeah.
And that would be a Twitter account.
Yeah, like Zachary Levi Ackerman.
Yeah, or Mr. Beast Titan.
Mr. Beast Titan.
Yeah.
We should make that parody account, yeah.
Mr. Beast.
Yeah, he just goes around the world killing people.
Yeah.
Or trying to neuter them.
I donated 10,000 tons of wine to Eldians.
I donated 10,000 rocks to this little town off the coast of the Italian peninsula.
Here's the Beast Titan doing like stupid Mr. Beast thumbnail.
Yeah. God, I hate thumbnails. All right, guys, that does it for this review of Attack on Titan, the series finale.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite thing about doing animation and stuff is like we don't have to make stupid faces for thumbnail pictures.
We should maybe start doing that, yeah. Just the animated characters. Yeah, upset. But we'll flip it on a movie we love. We'll be upset on the thumbnail.
Yeah.
Be like, well, they hated Oppenheimer? No, we loved Oppenheimer.
We go to Fantano route of just flannel colors dictating.
He's got that shit on lock. Love me some color theory. All right, guys. Like I said, that does it for this review. Make sure you like, share, do all that good stuff. Follow us on social media. Be on the lookout for our... We've been slacking so much on our Patreon podcast, but we're going to hit our patrons with like 3 or 4 big, bad podcasts.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for that. Pledge your dollar. Pledge your $2 if you're feeling generous. Or dollar and some change. For Aaron the Nerd Suit Monkey, I am Bo Oliver, signing off for the last time with Attack on Titan. Rumbling!
Wow, that was probably our best review yet. Hey guys, Aaron the Nerd Suit Monkey here with a brief shameless plug before we end the video. Do you ever feel like you don't have an adequate amount of nerd soup in your life? Like you're going to bed hungry and yearning for the nonsensical yet entertaining nutrients our podcasts provide? Well, we've come up with the perfect solution. The Nerd Soup Fan Question Podcast, exclusively available to our Patreon supporters. You can sign up now by visiting patreon.com/nerdsoup, and for the price of only $1 per month, you'll receive exclusive access to our weekly podcast, where we answer your questions that don't make it to the main show. And while you're there, you can check out the other rewards we offer to our patrons, like stickers, mugs, t-shirts, behind-the-scenes footage, and appearing in the credits at the end of our videos. And that's exactly what we're gonna do right now. Roll the names of the nerds who make Nerd Soup possible. The reason why the crypto crash didn't send our lives spiraling down a black hole of no return. Alright, I'll stop talking so you can listen to this jazzy-ass music while checking if Bo spelt your name wrong in the credits.